now on Alive 90.5. Here's the latest news, brought to you by Pace, transforming places since 1978.
National Radio News.
Hello, I'm Erin Archer. Prime Minister Scott Morrison says Australians should find a better way to protest about black deaths in custody than gathering in large numbers and potentially spreading COVID-19. Police in some states won't be issuing fines for breaching COVID-19-induced health directions, but will be monitoring protests planned for major cities around the country this weekend. The protests are in solidarity with African Americans, as well as to highlight police brutality against Indigenous Australians. But Mr. Morrison asked Australians to consider the restrictions and to not attend Black Lives Matter protests.
For all of those Australians who couldn't attend the funeral of a family member or couldn't see a loved one in a nursing home, or a veteran who couldn't remember their fallen colleagues by attending a war memorial service on Anzac Day, I think all Australians owe all those other Australians a great duty of responsibility. And I say to them, don't go.
Meanwhile, prominent American civil rights activist Reverend Al Sharpton has told mourners that George Floyd's death has marked a reckoning for his country, delivering the eulogy at a memorial service inside a university chapel in Minneapolis. Reverend Sharpton said the death of Mr. Floyd at the hands of police symbolizes a universal experience of African Americans.
We need to go back to Washington and stand up, black, white, Latino, Arab, in the shadows of Lincoln, and tell them this is the time to stop this.
George Floyd's death has sparked 10 days of protests against police brutality across the globe. Australia is overhauling its foreign investment laws to combat sales that comprise the national interest. From Canberra, Amanda Kopp reports.
In what the Treasurer has called the most significant reforms to Australia's foreign investment laws in 50 years, the government will now have the power to block or even reverse foreign sales of Australian assets and businesses.
Our geopolitical climate has become more complex. Governments are seeing foreign investment being used for strategic objectives, not purely commercial ones.
The government says the laws are not directed at any specific countries. Amanda Kopp, National Radio News, Canberra.
A Victorian primary school student has tested positive to coronavirus, forcing the school to close as community transmission continues in Melbourne's inner west and north. The young student at Newbury Primary School in Craigieburn is among the state's three latest cases of COVID-19. Victoria's Chief Health Officer Brett Sutton says the prep student went to school without symptoms late last week but developed signs of COVID-19 over the weekend.
A prep student who was at the school without symptoms late last week but developed symptoms over the weekend was tested on Wednesday, notified to DHHS yesterday, and the school will shut today.
Australian and Norwegian researchers are teaming up to try to deliver a coronavirus vaccine by the end of the year. It's thanks to new antiviral technology developed at the University of Queensland, which has already shown positive results. If trials are successful, CSL could start making 100 million doses of the vaccine in Melbourne next year.
National Radio News is supported by the Judith Nielsen Institute for Journalism and Ideas and the Community Broadcasting Foundation, cbf.org.au.
And now for the latest weather on Alive 90.5, brought to you by Concise Finance, your local mortgage broker.
It's currently 16 degrees and we had a chilly 3 overnight, and it's going to be 3 overnight again tonight. Looking for the rest of the day, it's sunny, so get out there and be a lounge lizard and suck the sun up. The sun will set tonight at 6 minutes to 5 p.m. Looking for the weekend, sunny on Saturday, 3 to 18. Sunny again, possible shower on Sunday, 3 again to a top of 17. And back to work week Monday, we have a possible shower with a bit warmer, 7 to 17.
The updated traffic, brought to you by Fernwood Gym of Seven Hills and North Rocks on Alive 90.5.
Maze Hill, M4 motorway approaching Coleman Street. There's a car breakdown. Westbound traffic is affected. Exercise caution in the area. Sylvania, Princess Highway at Sylvan Street. Emergency roadwork, a burst water main. One of three southbound lanes closed. Utility companies there. There's some diversions and the Sylvan Street is closed at the Princess Highway. And you can access Sylvan Street by Holt Road. Prospect M4 motorway approaching the Prospect Highway. Sorry there. A car breakdown. Westbound traffic affected in that location. It's 5 minutes past 12. You're on a live 90.5 Business Insights with Mario. Good morning, Mario. How are you?
Good morning, Darren. It's actually a midday, so it's like a good afternoon to all listeners.
It is. We've just ticked over.
Yeah, a live 90.5 Business Insights with Mario. It's a Friday afternoon on the 5th of June and winter is ready here. And as Darren says before, even temperature looks very low. It's quite warm outside. It's very pleasant, right?
Yes, and a big thing this morning, Mario, we are Facebook Live.
Yeah, can you tell us more about this?
We're on.
Well, okay, Darren is magician, yeah. So like everybody, please, Darren, you say better this one.
I think it's a topic for another day, but get on live Business with Insights with Mario Facebook page, and we have three cameras around the studio and working to bring you live. Of course, if you're on the Facebook audio, we can't play our music because Facebook doesn't like that.
Yeah. But they're going to shut us down, yeah.
Yeah, they would shut us down. Even though we've got license to broadcast it live and our own streaming, we don't have that for Facebook. So that's the Facebook. Back to it, Mario. You've got some words for us this morning.
Well, I really do. Look, Darren, it's a long weekend today starting, and I already saw the double the merits points, you know, applying. But, you know, instead of talking about bad things, I'm very pleased to have it today in the studio, a very special guest. She's a foreigner like myself, you know, we just actually naturalized Australians. But saying that, Sabine, she's going to share with us her story. Reason why I'm pushing, you know, because she's going to stay with us only 1 hour, and her story is quite exciting. Sabine, she's born and raised in Ocean Alps, you know, like reminds me of the Milka chocolate, you know. Actually, that's a Switzerland. And she used to be working in South African beach bar, selling advertising to the World Travel Guide, managing wilderness ranch in Canadian outback. Sabine, she's a truly enthusiastically seized and exciting electric mix of transcontinental employment opportunities. However, her story, it's something different. And I would say the title of this interview, Screw the Rules, Follow Your Heart and Do Your Thing. When I read Sabine, our guest bio, I truly believe that many of you are going to find yourself in that story. It's all about betrayal and stabbing the back, business-wise. And I'm truly intrigued to hear from Sabine her story. Something very important, trees. Well, they grow to their maximum, they never stop growing. Same with the humans. For some reason, humans stop growing and they stop halfway when they hit the obstacles. And as I was mentioned this in our show, Darren and I, the show, it's all about you, dear listeners, in Sydney, in Australia, globally. And I'm truly, truly privileged to today we have that Darren and I have in the studio our guest. I want to try to say Sabine Rajhofer. Is that correct?
That was actually very
good.
Wow,
welcome to our studio, Sabine.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Look, I don't know everything about you. I try to study as much as I can. I like to say a lot to Deborah from the Bay PR.
That's correct.
Yeah, she's put us in touch with you and your story is very intriguing. But screw the rules, follow your heart and do your thing. It's quite challenging. That's a title, dear listeners. This is not me saying something. That's a title of the Sabine book. But Sabine, welcome to the studio. So let's go rush straight away into interview because you had only 1 hour with us. And I know you're very busy. So I'd like to say thank you, Deborah from the Bay PR. And Sabine, who is Sabine?
Well, I grew up in the Austrian Alps.
Okay, that's enough about you. So Darren, today we will...
I want to hear all about the Austrian Alps.
Well, okay, most definitely. Tell us. They're actually very beautiful. So, at the end of a valley in a ski resort, I had the most beautiful childhood where we could ski to the front door, basically.
Okay.
I grew up in a hotel as one of four. So my parents were hoteliers.
Nice.
And, from when we were young, it was always... everyone always assumed that we would all step into our parents' shoes, just as my siblings did.
But for some reason, all I always wanted to do was travel and go overseas and explore different countries. So once I finished college, the expectation basically was, you know, you finish college, you get your first job. Like in a, I attended hospitality college because I thought that's the quickest way to get me traveling,
okay.
Working in that industry.
So the Austria was not enough. You know what? I may interrupt you there. Yeah. Your story reminds me of your countryman, Arnold Schwarzenegger. Seriously. No, you know why? Because, you know, he's, I truly admire him because one of his speeches is, he always praised the Austria, but he always wanted to get out of the Austria, you know what I mean? So please, you finish your college?
The expectations were basically that you go to a five-star hotel, work at the reception, work your way up and make something of yourself.
Yeah.
But for me, it was just, I just wanted to go overseas. And I always said I did not want to work in the, like, end up in the hospitality industry.
But why? Why? Did you saw your parents working hard?
Well, they worked very hard. And I, like everyone in my family was doing the same. And I just wanted to do something different.
Oh, so you're a rebel.
Well, I guess so.
Rebel from Austria. So may I ask you, what's the called the place or city or the mountain or the...
Oh, it's called... I have to be careful when I say it with my accent. Bad Gastein.
So Bad Gastein.
It's not Pakistan.
Okay, Bad Gastein. Where is it? Do you plan it towards the Germany, the Italy, or the Slovenia?
It's right between Germany and Italy. Like it's an hour south of Salzburg, and an hour from the Italian border.
Nice.
It's like I said, it's absolutely stunning, and I'm very, very proud Austrian. But that didn't keep me from...
to departing the Austria. So you finish your college and then you are still in Austria, you decided straight away to travel?
Well, the deal was that after college, everyone had to work at home for a year, which I did. But then as soon as my older sister came back from her travels, then I went off. And my first destination was Italy, the island of Sardinia.
Oh, nice.
Which is absolutely stunning.
Yes.
And that was my first trip away by myself. And, you know, my first experience of freedom, and that was it.
May I ask you something? You know, Austria and Italy is totally two different countries. Yes. You know, there's no question asked, and particularly Sardinia. So that you are living in mountains, and then suddenly you come to Alano, Sardinia.
Yeah.
What was the smell difference between Austria and the mountains and the island? Did you enjoy more, you know, calm sea breeze, you know, smell of the ocean and the pine trees? Or did you say, like, oh, I'm missing my snow and...
Well, when you spend, you know, so many years in the mountains, and like I said, you know, I didn't love anything more than skiing and snowboarding.
Yeah.
So, but, you know... Getting to Sardinia, and it was the first time I saw like the crystal clear ocean, because when we were kids we would always go to the Adriatic, and that's not, you know,
well, in Croatia,
as
my old country. I know I remember you're not paying the tickets, you know me, for the seats. So yeah, how long did you spend time on Sardinia?
Oh, just for the summer season.
Okay.
I worked at a beautiful hotel. But then my boyfriend at the time, he came to visit, and when I was a little child, I always said I wanted to emigrate to Australia,
yes.
Probably because it was the furthest away. I don't know what the real reason was. So at the time, then I said to my boyfriend, look, I'm going to go to Australia. Are you going to come? And then he said, well, if we're going to Australia, we might as well stop over in Asia. And that's when we started to plan our
trip,
1 year long backpacking trip.
May I ask you, what
trip.
Year was that?
That was in 91.
91,
yes.
Okay.
So backpacking in Asia wasn't as popular as it is
today,
nowadays.
Yeah.
And for me, I had never left Europe. So that was, you know, a very exciting thing to do. And we always followed the path less traveled. And about 6 or 7 weeks into our time in Asia, I got malaria in the south of Thailand.
Oh, my God.
And I was very, very sick. But funny enough, my first thought was, oh, my God, I hope I can recover enough so I don't have to go back. Because
interesting. I'm just about to ask you a question. Did you consider to go back? You
no,
know,
not
because
at all.
Malaria doesn't. You know, malaria maybe for many people looks curable and everything else. I never have malaria, but I know that people who did have. They used to be work with me we used to be work together, and they were doing some work there in Asia, and some of them contracted malaria, and they told me that's a true experience.
Yes, it was. I was very sick, and to the extent that, you know, every sip of water tasted like chemicals.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was very weak as well. Mm-hmm. So after a couple of weeks, like, we actually went to Malaysia because we were told that the there are better doctors. And we were lucky enough to run into a doctor who had studied in England and who spoke well English.
Yes.
And so, yeah, basically she said all I could do was just take an overdose of the same malaria pills, yeah, and, you know, hope for the best.
So but you've been quite ill, and then regardless of everything, you decide to stay.
Well, definitely, yes. You know, we just thought, yeah, let's just, we stayed in Penang in Malaysia for, I think, another 2 weeks or so. And then we went to the Cameron Highlands in Malaysia, which is a very relaxing area. We went there for Christmas, and we just took it easy for a while. But then as soon as I started to feel a bit better, we kept going.
Yeah.
And at times, you know, I was always very fit, you know, growing up in the mountains. And then we started climbing volcanoes again, and I just had the hardest time getting myself up there. And for some reason, you know, I thought, okay, malaria, I've had it, it's gone, should be back to normal.
So did you lose your boyfriend on the way on hiking to a volcano, or are you still walking with you?
Well, you know, he kept saying, come on, you know, he kept pushing pushing me. But the thing was that my body was extremely weak due to all
medicine and everything.
I felt like I almost went like through chemotherapy because my body, like I said, felt very weak. I lost a lot of hair. My everything tasted like chemicals. So, you know, it was no surprise. That
and the medical care, it's different than Austrian, right? Oh. You've been shocked with the hospitals there. And
well, I wasn't. Yeah. I never actually went to hospital. Like, I went to hospital initially, but they couldn't understand me. So then I just went to like this English doctor, and she just had her own little doctor's praxis. And then I just did what she told me to do, and I stayed at the backpackers for 2 weeks.
And how long you stay in Malaysia?
In Malaysia, I guess all up maybe 4 or 5 weeks.
And then was the next stop?
No, and then the next was Sumatra.
Okay. You love adventure, right?
which was amazing because we actually managed to get onto a cargo ship from the island of Nias back to the main island, and we were the only tourists there. And that was such an amazing experience. They stopped in the middle of the ocean a few times, and the people from the small islands around came to the ship to trade their coconuts for like soap and cookies and whatever.
It looks like a Captain Cook, you know, voyage, you know what I mean? Come on every island, you know what I mean? Well,
that was amazing, yeah.
And so what was the next step?
So then, yeah, we did basically all the islands of Indonesia all the way to Timor. Then from Timor, we went to Australia.
Yes.
Then we went down through the outback down to Alice Springs and back up to Cairns, and then hitchhiked all the way down to Sydney.
Mm-hmm.
And then from Australia, we went on to New Zealand. Well, the thing is, actually, my year in Australia turned into 6 weeks.
Okay.
Because we ended up spending 8 months in Asia.
Oh, okay.
So it was time, you know, after 6 weeks, we had to move on. And then it was, we went to New Zealand and then a bit of the States and then back to Austria.
Yes.
And I was only meant to be away for a year, like all up.
And how then, long
well, it ended up, yeah, well, the the backpacking trip was for a year, but it made it, like, including Italy, it made it a year and a half.
Yeah.
So then that meant that I now had to give my sister a year and a half, you know, who I took turns with working at the hotel. So then my sister went away for a year and a half, and then after that year and a half, I said, that's it for me.
Are you going to leave the Alps and you want to go in Australia?
I'm leaving for good. And then I went to South America, to Venezuela. And,
oh my God, so you go another side now, okay.
Yeah, well, you know.
why not conquer another continent, right, Darren? So like,
indeed.
And I met a couple of friends over there, and we decided to study Spanish in the Andes. But then after a week of studying Spanish, we decided that learning how to paraglide would be more exciting. And we did a paragliding
course. How old were you then?
I was 24 then.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, like me dying now, so that's okay. So that's we know that we're going to expect this one. Well, Sabine, we took a short break so you can have the breather. You're listening to Live 90.5 Business Insights with Mario. And now, guest in studio, Sabine. She's going to share with us more stories. The girl from the Austrian Alps conquered the entire world, but now we come to the screw the rules.
What I'm about to say. Sometimes she's here, can take a break. I'm a hot air balloon that could go to space with the air, like I don't care, baby, by the way. Because I'm happy. Clap along if you feel like a room without a roof. Because I'm happy. Clap along.
Dr. Jack from Beyond Infinity Dental.
A retired couple had a chat with me about implants. They were just sick and tired of being unable to chew a steak and bite into an apple. They were worried about two things, the pain and the cost. After I explained everything, they decided to go ahead with the implants to lock in their dentures. Now they couldn't be happier. They are always smiling.
Would you like the best in dental care? Call Dr. Jack on 9838 9111 or pop in at Shop 20A Winston Hill Shopping Centre, 180 Carolina. Caroline Chisholm Drive, Winston Hills, 2153. Or go online, infinitydentalcare.com.au. Station sponsor.
Are you an experienced disability care worker? Then why not consider the benefits of working for Global, the leading disability care agency in Sydney? Agency work offers variety to work where and when you want. If you have previous disability care work experience, a first aid certificate and driver's license, then Global is the agency for you. Global offers great rates of pay and free training courses to its own disability care staff. Check out positions vacant on the website at globalcarestaff.com or call today on 1800 009 292. That's globalcarestaff.com or call 1800 009 292.
Station sponsor.
Alive 90.5, all the way from the 70s, 80s, 90s and today.
It's 26 minutes past 12 on Alive 90.5 Business Insights with Mario, and we are Facebook Live today. Go to Business Insights with Mario on Facebook and you can see us live in the studio with our guest Sabine. Take it away, Mario.
You know, I just want to say, like, my sexy body, you know what I mean? I'm hiding Darren because, you know what I mean, I'm very sexy, very good looking. But our guest in studio, Sabine, I'll not deliberately purposely pronounce her surname because I don't want to offend our guest. It's a German. But she shared with us, you know, how to lose the boyfriend in the volcano's ashes and, you know, I mean, if you don't like it. And then Sabine, she travels. She's a person who decided to conquer the world. However, her biggest desire to see the world actually turned into some sort of disaster, obstacles, painful experiences. And the beauty of it is she's with us today in the studio sharing those experiences. And as I mentioned always, this show is not about Alive 90.5. It's about you, listeners. And I'm glad, I'm truly privileged having Sabine in the studio today with us. For what? What was the reason? Very simple, to inspire you. And her story continue now in South America. So, she decided to learn the Spanish, and after a week time, she says, well, Spanish is not important anymore. Let's go do paragliding. So, how did you enjoy paragliding?
Well, the scenery up in the Andes is just absolutely amazing. Yeah. And we did a course, and then got straight into the solo high altitude flights.
Yes.
And I had a few very successful flights where you afterwards...
When you say very few successful...
I had a few successful ones.
Yes.
Where you just, you know, you land and you're pumping with adrenaline, and yeah, then you go to a local little village and have a Corona.
I was thinking cocaine, but that's okay.
No, I'm actually talking about beer.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Yes.
Anyway, and then one day about 2 weeks down the track... Mm-hmm. Things didn't go as planned, and we took off a high cliff, and like I just had a couple of steps to take off.
When you said we, who is this we?
Oh, well, just a group of paragliders that I learned with, yeah, and locals.
And where's the boyfriend? He didn't ever land it from the first flight.
he was watching from the bottom.
Oh, okay. Oh, you're very courageous, eh? That's what inspires me, and you know, should everybody. Paragliding is not simple. And it's all over you.
It's the feeling, seriously. Yeah, like when you take off, and it's just, again, in the Andes, you know, the areas where we flew, it was just, there was nothing around. There was not even a building in sight. Yeah. And you just glide along, and it's just an amazing feeling. But that one day, the wind was quite strong, and I waited a bit for it to... turned down a bit, and anyway, and then I took off with two steps. I couldn't get my parachute straight away, yes, because of the wind, and I was flying along the cliff, and then there was a long plant sticking out of the cliff, and it got caught in my shoelace. And
wow.
It was just like for a second or so, but it was enough to twist my lines from top to toe. And I was just about to steer out, but then obviously when my lines were twisted, I couldn't steer anymore. And I had another cliff face ahead of me. And I had gained, you know, a relative speed, and ended up crashing into the cliff ahead of me in about 1,000 meters.
May I ask you something? What was on your mind when you knew it, that the lines was tangled? Yeah. You see, I never done paragliding. Yeah. I done the parachuting, and that was my previous life in the military. But it was a difference, a line, static line, jump. But that's a different. But What was going through your mind when you knew it?
Well, that's actually...
That you're going to hit the mountain. It was, Darren, correct my word, inevitable.
Inevitable? Yes. I think it was.
Yeah, that's a word, yeah.
I'm not repeating the word because I'm having just as much of a hard time with these kinds of words.
Look, so please, it was inevitable, yeah, that you're going to hit the mountain. What was on your mind?
Well, it still amazes me how your mind actually functions, because I looked up and I still remember it exactly, you know, to this day, what my string of thoughts. I looked up and I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
And then everything just happened in slow motion. And I went back to the course where they told us, if ever you crash into anything, pull the lines to slow your speed. And then I thought, well, that doesn't really... help now, because my lines are twisted, but I might as well do it anyway. And then I looked at the cliff face in front of me and I thought, well, I better turn sideways. And I turned sideways, and then thankfully my brain switched off.
Certainly it was no song in your head. Don't worry.
Be happy.
So, you want to ask something?
Oh, no, I'm just following very intently here to understand what may have been going through your mind.
Well, it was, like I said, it was
only in very slow motion. What was the height when you hit the mountain?
Oh, I was about 900 meters from the ground. But thankfully, you know, those cliff faces aren't all straight cliff faces.
Yes.
So I got stuck on that mountain, or in that cliff.
Yeah.
Amongst, you know, boulders and like rocks and plants. And I was unconscious, I don't know for how long. But then I heard someone, I woke up and I heard someone screaming from the top, saying, can you feel your toes?
And yeah, you're not paralyzed. Yeah, yeah,
yes,
yeah.
Because I did not move. I was like in a fetal position.
Yeah.
And but the first thought that went through my mind, and that again is something that has stuck with me, was I was 24 at the time, and my first thought was, oh, thank goodness I've done so much in my life. Because I knew I shouldn't move. I knew something wasn't right. I did feel my toes, but I knew I was in trouble. So, and then I was in and out of consciousness. I don't even know exactly how they got me off the cliff.
Yeah.
I just remember waking up again, and it was pitch dark. Pitch dark. Sorry, no pitch. No.
That's okay.
I got to get the right pitch.
Black as tar. Black as tar. That's where pitch comes from.
That's okay, Sabine. That's okay. Yeah.
And I was still on the cliff, but then eventually they actually got a four-wheel drive ambulance to get me down the mountain. I thought this was my chance to finally get into a helicopter, but that wasn't my time. They took me to the local hospital, and my humerus, like the bone underneath my shoulder, was had snapped in half, and I had broken the pubic bone and
pelvis.
At the time, they didn't see the rest. They hadn't detected.
Did you notice one pattern that you that everything was happening to you health wise? It's happening in countries where the medical care it's a little bit challenging. Yeah.
Well, it was actually then they discussed for quite a while if they should do surgery to my.
Did you cry?
Not at that stage, but it's coming. then they rolled me.
I would cry, Sabine, honestly. I would cry. I would be like a little girl. I'll be like a little bitch, you know what I mean? Like, I'll be like a little girl. Seriously. So please continue.
No, but with the adrenaline pumping, I think, you know, I hadn't quite grasped the severity of it. But then they rolled me into the plaster room, and then he locked the door behind him. And then, you know, I had big wounds along my lower arm, and he just took a cotton pad with pure alcohol and rubbed it up and down, and, you know, I was screaming. And then he set me up to put the plaster on my arm.
As I said before, you decide to be unhealthy in a country where that's right, Darren, is like Malaysia, and then, you know, I mean, what was the country?
Venezuela,
sorry, yeah.
But anyway, then he asked me to sit up, and I said, no, I can't, because I knew something was wrong. And then he just took me and set me up with a broken pelvis, which they hadn't detected at the time. And that's when I...
And how long did you stay in hospital?
No, at that hospital, actually, I left that day.
You?
One of the locals suggested that they, because I told them that something's not quite right, and mm-hmm. I don't want to stay here, because they didn't quite understand, I think, what was
going on,
my situation. And but you know, just to go back about crying, so this was actually when I burst into tears.
Yeah.
And I started screaming. So, but anyway, then they took me to a local guy's house, and he said his mom can look after me, which was very sweet. But then after the first night, I said something is very wrong here, and then they took me to a private hospital, and then they actually took off the plaster off my arm, and they finally put my arm into position, like the bones into position, which they hadn't done before they put on the plaster. And then they did an MRI, and they found out that I had broken my pelvis. But then I also had issues with my sciatica in my left left leg. I couldn't move my left leg. I couldn't extend it. And then, but I could still feel my toes. So I thought I was going to be all right. And I just stay in the hospital for 6 weeks and I'll keep traveling. But then after a couple of weeks, I got a high fever as well. And then they decided to fly me back to Austria.
Yeah. So, you know, looks like you're not fearless, but you're not in adventures. It's nothing short of admiration, because like if I start for myself, I will be, I don't want to say this word, but I'll be, my hands will be full of everything, you know what I mean? Because, seriously, Darren, so, you know, I apologize with my lingo, no humble inglese, but the bottom line it is that it's nothing short of admiration, you know what I mean? Malaysia, malaria. Venezuela, you know, I mean, Pinochet was not happy for sure then, because you're gliding all over the Venezuela, and you hit a mountain. Sorry, a mountain.
Yeah.
900 meters high. And, you know, you're paralyzed or not, getting the very, very basic care. Obviously, they could have. That's only we could do, and eventually you ended up in Austria because of high fever.
Well, and then in Austria, actually.
Sorry. Where's the boyfriend then? Did you leave him in the Andes or did you?
No, I was actually single at the time.
Oh, okay, that's good. So he's still in Malaysia, in a volcanic
year. Well, we broke up like soon after we got back from our trip, actually.
Yeah. See, I told you, you're stronger than the man. So look, we take a short break now, and then we'll come back with your story about your life in Australia. Listen, Alive 90.5, Business Insider Mario and Darren are now guests in studio, Sabine. Nothing short than just admiration. Malaria in Malaysia. Broken hips, pelvis, almost paralyzed, arm broken, everything, hitting the mountain 900 meters high due to paragliding, but she's still walking and smiling. We come back later.
Feels right, but when you're with me, I'll make you believe that I've got the key. is an urban renewal and property development specialist whose reputation is centred on delivering great places to live and work. They take pride in transforming and delivering harmonious communities. East Village, developed by Pace, is a mixed-use residential and retail precinct combining leading-edge apartments and a unique and vibrant urban marketplace. East Village has won numerous prestigious awards, including the 2015 Australian Development of the Year awarded by the Urban Task Force. Pace, transforming places since 1978. Station sponsor.
It really hurts us when a loved one passes on, but it's nice to know that their memory will be well respected in their final resting place. Castlebrook Memorial Park has looked after the families of loved ones for over 50 years. You can visit them and talk to their family service advisors almost any day from 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Their website is castlebrook.com.au. Castlebrook Memorial Park is at Windsor Road, Rouse Hill, and is a proud sponsor of Alive 90.5.
It's all I listen to. Alive 90.5. Playing cool music.
It's 18 minutes to 1, 16 degrees. Business Insights with Mario on Alive 90.5.
Darren, isn't that extraordinary story Sabine she shared with us? For all listeners tuned in now on Alive 90.5 Business Insights with Mario. Sabine with us in studio sharing her story. She's living the Austrian Alps like Heidi, you know. She's going in Malaysia, getting malaria. Then she's on a long way, on the way to the Venezuela. She lost a boyfriend above the Atlantic, and then she was doing the paragliding instead of learning the Spanish. You see what's happened when you don't, when you plan one thing, happen another one. The bottom line is she hit a mountain 900 meters high. She broke her pelvis, almost paralyzed. Very basic medical care. And then she comes in Austria. And in, from Austria, eventually, she's gone to South Africa. Am I correct?
That's right, yes.
Canada?
Canada, yeah.
When did you come to Australia then?
In 98.
Well, you waited for so long, seven
yes,
years.
Yes, you know, one day I woke up and I was like, now or never.
Now or never, yeah.
And I packed my bags, sold everything, and... Left
say goodbye.
And
our feeders in Austria.
No, he was like actually Canadian and who had followed me to Austria. But okay. We have agreed that it was time to
okay
go in different directions. So he went to Canada and I went to Australia.
You have a pattern of losing boyfriends in volcanoes, you know what I mean, in over Atlantic, and now in the one in Austria. He's like somewhere then in snow. Jokes on aside. And then you come in Australia in 98. What was your next step? I heard, you know, in your bio, you know what I mean, that you're very humble. I must say this one. I really like it about you. I'm joking about my English, which is not perfect. It's my fifth language. And I'm never going to learn. I'm truly blessed, you know what I mean? And you know, Darren is here to even correct me. Well, I'll ask the words. But you're very humble. I was apologizing, you know what I mean, sincerely. Now, in your bio says that you have a business in Australia. I'm very interested now. No about nature of your business, but you started a business, but then somehow you're being betrayed. What was the feeling? The same feeling you had, you know, hitting the mountain?
Well, that was, you know, when you start a business from nothing and then against everyone's predictions, you make it into a successful business and... It's basically your baby that you build up over several years, and then we managed to sign a very large multi-million-dollar deal, and then my German suppliers.
Darren is going to take a half of this. So.
Pardon?
Darren now is going to take a half.
Well,
of the half
if, of if only you could, but my German suppliers beat you to it.
Yes.
Oh.
So they actually once we. Signed the deal, they just thought it would be better to make it their own and get basically get rid of me, which they slowly did. Actually, it was quite aggressively. And eventually I had to...
How did you feel then when you
well,
felt
Well, you know,
betrayed?
It is...
Give me your feelings, yeah. Your emotions. How did you feel?
It's like someone stabbing you, you know, in the chest. It's, you know, you put so much passion into your business to make it into something that you're really proud of. And same with my employees. You know, we had a fantastic team and You know, every day I walked into the office, I looked around and I was just so proud of what we had
created. So that was somebody who was working with you.
And then, pardon?
That was somebody who was working with you, right?
No, it was my supplier. Like I brought a German software system to Australia. Okay. So it was their software. And they just thought, well, I was a distributor, so I wasn't employed by them. I had it, you know, I built it up myself. But, you know, for someone then to rip the carpet out under your feet out of greed and ego, you know, that's obviously not something easy, you know.
I'll give you one tip, what I heard. It's not about me. Yeah. I have some experiences in my life similar to this. But number two never can be number one. You understand?
Yes, absolutely.
And that's a curse I need to carry around because, you know, eventually... You felt bad because you put your hard work and everything else. And how did you move on? How did you find the energy to move on?
Well, the thing is, you know, like I did what I could, and eventually, unfortunately, I had to close doors.
Yes.
And then I just thought, you know, shit happens. I'm not the first one who has to deal with this kind of stuff. And I basically lost everything. I had to put my few belongings that I had left into storage. And I just thought I have to get away for 3 months, clear my head, and then come back. But then 3 months turned into...
Who helped you on that road of recovery? Who was there for you?
To be honest, I always say, like, I'm a free spirit with a nomad soul. So I just took off by myself, and when I go through,
that's what Sabine, it's a courage. That's what it's courage. I've seen that many people hiding behind their parents, you know what I mean? That's number one, or some friends or whatever it is. And sometimes it's better when you do everything on your own. But see, you owe nobody nothing.
No, and the thing is also for me was like friends on weekends, you know, they always, you know, wanted to talk about it, wanted to know about it. And I thought, no, it's the weekend, I want to have fun. And, you know, the more, you know, when you talk about it and then you get this all, oh, you poor thing, and oh my God, I can't believe this is happening to you. It just pulls you down.
May I ask you something? You know, this is me asking to you, right? You know, I mean, in case something happened to me like this again, what would you, you know, I've been in a situation like you, but... What would you give to any of our listeners who has problems in business and being that ripped off or betrayed in a business? What tip are you going to give them? Time now, 30 seconds.
honestly, for me, it is like as long as I do the best I can and everything I can to, you know, to like I took legal action, I fought for it. But then when that there was nothing left to do. And then I just thought, okay, time to move on. Because, you know, sure, it hurts and I lost everything. But for me, the business was never about the money. It was, you know, about creating something. And I was very proud of what I had created. And, you know, I also learned a hell of a lot going through, you know, all those issues. And, you know, it was just...
You're a very brave woman, Sabine. You're a truly brave woman. Now, Darren, we'll take it just a... quick break because my chair is break and the beach is around us, so we're gonna continue with Sabine in next few minutes about screw the rules, follow your heart and do your thing with us in studio, Sabine.
Feels like Director of Cherrybrook Real Estate, Sam Ramon, is a specialist in property management in residential in the Hills District. He prides himself on taking the stress out of property management and looking after your investment at a competitive rate. If you need property management, please call Sam Ramon from Cherrybrook Real Estate on 9980 9860. Station sponsor.
Hi, Alan Barnes from Dural Pool Shop. With the swim season nearly here, I'd like to stress the importance of proper maintenance and care to maximise your enjoyment. Our expert pool technicians can help you make sure of the right pool quality, cleaning methods and equipment, filter maintenance, cost-effective pool chemicals and more. See full details on our website at duralpoolshop.com.au, or better still, drop in and see me and the gang at Shop 2, 270 Newline Road, Dural. We'll help you to get your pool just how you want it.
Dural Pool Shop, a station sponsor.
All today's hits and yesterday's favourites.
Alive 90.5.
It's 7 minutes to one on Alive 90.5. Business Insights with Mario. Take it away.
Oh, thank you, Darren. For our listeners tuning in right now with us in studio, it's Sabine. Her book, Screw the Rules, Follow Your Heart, Do Your Thing. It's just a prelude into something what she was experiencing, misfortune, Full Metal Jacket, you know what I mean? Going to Malaysia, get malaria, you know, going in Venezuela, learning to paragliding instead of learning Spanish. She hits the mountain 900 meters high, falling, she was hanging, and she wasn't sure she's paralyzed or not. And eventually she found her way back to Australia, of course, the land of many happiness. I heard the analogy about Australia. Somebody told me when I was in one of the trainings, a guy told me Australia, it's like a US 200 years ago because it's an undiscovered land and everything else. And it's a beautiful, it's a smaller community and so on. You opened the business, being backstabbed, being, you know, betrayed, but you rise it. And because you have not much enough time, you wrote a book, Screw the Rules, Follow Your Heart and Do Your Thing. Tell us more about this book, because title it's truly, you know, I must say X-rated. So yeah.
Well, I think with the title, basically, I developed kind of a screw the rules attitude. I think early on, where I just wanted to do things my way, rather than living life according to someone else's rules and expectations.
Do you believe that people live by the rules of society?
Yeah, or? No. I think a lot of times, you know, like society dictates, you know, what you should be doing, and I guess, you know, for me also, like when I lost the business and everything that happened, you know, I was surprised myself how
resilient you are.
No, how I didn't get, sure, you know, I cried my eyes out in between. And it was, you know, a tough time, you know, I there's no denying that.
Sabine, there's no shame to be, you know, when you hurt, you, of course you cry, yeah. It hurts.
But still, you know, I remember one day driving over the Harbour Bridge after, you know, spending a few hours in the middle of the night just looking out to the harbour, crying my eyes out, and then the next morning without much sleep, going back into the office, motivating the team to keep going. And so when I drove over the Harbour Bridge that one day, it's like I thought to myself all of a sudden, you know, who would I rather be? And then I just thought, I couldn't think of anyone. And then I thought, no, I love my life. And I, you know, shit happens, and, you know, that's part of life. And I think for me, that was the realization, is I don't have any regrets. I wouldn't do things differently, because mm-hmm. I feel like I always followed my heart. I always was always true to myself, and I always did what I felt was right for me. And as long as I do the best I can.
You wrote a book.
Yeah. You know, as long as I gave it my all and do the best I can, you know, that's good enough. And I think that's kind of like my message behind the whole thing, is because I always had a no regrets philosophy, and you know, I don't want to have any what ifs or I should haves in my life, and I feel I can say that with.
So, who would you recommend your book to read?
Everybody.
Absolutely.
So, Sabine, look. We have the copy of your book, and we'll take a picture of you with the book and everything else. And Darren and I are gonna make sure that people hear that by this book. However, because 1 hour just gone very quickly, and I know you're extremely busy here at 3 o'clock, you have some other social engagements. I'd like to say, on behalf of Alive 90.5, really, really big thank you for coming today in the studio. And if you don't mind, we would like to invite you again to talk more exactly just about the book.
Okay, thank you so much.
Yeah, so you still didn't tell us almost having the boyfriend, one Canadian is lost in the Alps. One is like somewhere in the Andes, Darren.
I'd love to hear more.
There
will be a second episode.
It was going to be second. You're listening Business Insights with Mario on a line 90.5, where our guests have been. We're going to share her story today on our website, on line 90.5, her podcast, and as well about books. Sabine, thank you for being our guest again.
Thank you so much again for having me.
Alive 90.5.
I used to bite my tongue and hold my breath, scared to rock the boat and make a mess. So I sat quietly, agreed politely. I guess that I forgot I had a choice. I let you push me past the breaking point. I stood for nothing, so I fell for everything. You held me down, but I got up. Already brushing off the dust. You hear my voice, you hear that sound. Like thunder gonna shake the ground. You held me down, but I got up. Get ready, cause I've had enough. I see it all, I see it now. I got the eye of the tiger. A fire, dancing through the fire. Cause I am a champion. And you're gonna hear me roar louder, louder than a lion. Cause I am a champion. And you're gonna hear me roar. You're gonna hear me roar. Now I'm floating like a butterfly, stinging like a bee. I earned my stripes. I went from zero to my own hero. You helped me down.